Hey, what's going on, guys? This is the Bills Wire Daily Podcast, and I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. It's going to be a busy one, as the Bills were busy over the Labor Day weekend. We hope that you had a great one with, well, yourself or your family and friends. I hope it was a relaxing one, but now we are into week one of the regular season as the Bills prep for the Baltimore Ravens. A quick reminder that this podcast is proudly presented to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. And with that, make sure you guys hit subscribe. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other outlets like Spotify and Stitcher. Make sure you find us. If you can, leave us a review. We appreciate all of that. Now to the tasks at hand. All of the information over the weekend was, well, dizzying in some respects. There was a lot of roster moves. The Bills cutting down to their 53-man roster, setting their practice squad. Interesting moves at the quarterback position. Nathan Peterman named the starter by head coach Sean McDermott. There is a lot to get to. So to help me kind of sift through all of that is new Bills Wire staff writer Bradley Gelber, a familiar name to many of you, is now part of our staff here at Bills Wire. We want to thank you, Brad, for really just kind of joining our team. We're lucky to have you, and really excited that you're on board, and we have a lot to discuss, and let's get to it, and thanks again.
Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, it's it was a little bit, you know, something that we had been, Nick and I had been talking about for a while, and, you know, I was happy we could finally make it happen. The opportunity kind of, like, presented itself, so you know, I'd had a lot of fun doing some of the podcasts with you in the past. And like I said, we had been in talks for a bit. So, you know, I'm excited to join the team for this season. You guys have some really, you know, strong writers and all diverse kind of different strengths. And I'm excited to just help complement that in any way I can.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So this is our post Labor Day edition. This is now, I believe, week five. We've flipped the calendar to September. So doing this daily podcast, you know, a little bit over a month now. It's been a lot of fun, at least for me. And, you know, we just appreciate having you join the staff over at Bills Wire. I think we're only growing and getting more in depth and more in tune with what Bills fans want. So we'll just try to provide that and be a voice for them and try to interact with them. I'm sure this podcast will evolve with you and with other people on the staff. So I'm looking forward to the future here for sure. And just again, thanks for, we have a lot to talk about, by the way.
Yeah, we do.
We didn't air anything after Friday, after the cuts and everything that's transpired since then. So let's jump right into it with the most kind of, I guess, biggest recent news with Nathan Peterman being named the starting quarterback in week one for the Bills, and Sean McDermott outlining his reasons for that in a small press scrum today. Brad, just not necessarily surprising that they went this route, but still nonetheless noteworthy here as we enter week one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago when you had me on, and at the time things looked very different. It was, you know, we were going into, I believe, preseason week three. So all the buzz was about Josh Allen and him getting a chance to start. And, you know, it was prior to AJ McCarron's injury. And, you know, so things were kind of really all over the place. We knew how strong of a preseason Nathan Peterman had. But, you know, I think a lot of people were kind of excited about seeing, you know, could Josh Allen kind of take things and run with it. But we know how things kind of transpired. And I think that, you know, the fact that AJ McCarron was able to kind of skirt that serious injury, come back, play week four, you know, not have a great game, but, you know, have a really fun ending to the game. I actually wrote my first piece for the Bills Wire on AJ McCarron's comeback game and how that kind of meant more to him than probably any of us really realized. And then in order for that to kind of transpire, you know, Bean was able to flip that and kind of convince the Oakland Raiders that that was worthy of a fifth round pick for him, which, you know, we talk about this a lot, but it's hard to really understand, I guess, the value that Brandon Bean's able to get for sometimes for these players that you just don't understand what he's able to get these teams to see in them. I mean, AJ McCarron, not to discredit anything he's done, but, you know, it wasn't even like he had that great of a game. He just was able to bring the team back. And I guess the Oakland Raiders felt that that was you know, a better option than EJ Manuel or any other option they had at quarterback. So now he's there. But I think in terms of Nathan Peterman, like you said, it's no real shock. He's had a great preseason. I think that to kind of, you know, see where he's come from, I was kind of reflecting on that this morning a little bit, just the uphill battle he had to climb. And I believe someone in the media asked him during the scrum today, his press conference, the first one since he was named starter. Do you ever kind of reflect back on what it's taken for you since, you know, since the Chargers game and since the snow game and since the end of the season, kind of, you know, once Tyrod Taylor was traded, they drafted Josh Allen, they brought in AJ McCarron, and, you know, he really had an uphill battle to climb to get to this point. And, you know, he said all the right things, and he said he took it a day at a time, and, you know, he had great competition along the way, and, you know, that he's going to continue working hard because, you know, he has to, and there's going to be a lot of challenges in front of him. I think I counted him say he worked hard 5 or 6 times just during this opening press conference today, which clearly he did, because, you know, there was a lot to overcome for him. And I think that, you know, I'm not saying anyone wants to have their first preseason game go or regular season game go the way his did, but, you know, maybe he was able to take something from that, and he's able to build on that. And I think, you know, we can all agree he looks a lot better so far, albeit preseason. But I'm interested to see, because, you know, it's been known that they have a very tough opening 4 games. And that's partly, you know, some of the reasons some people thought maybe Josh Allen shouldn't start right away is because of these opponents. So I'm interested to see if Peterman can kind of carry this preseason momentum into the regular season, or if, you know, how quickly fans, because you know it's going to happen the first time he throws an interception or he gets sacked or they lose a game, even if it's not just his fault, you know, people are going to be calling for Josh Allen. So,
yep.
You know, I'm interested to see how he's able to handle all of that.
For sure. And just getting back to the AJ McCarron piece real quick, I'm almost wondering if, you know, McDermott and Bean put him out there as kind of to showcase him, having him play that entire 4th preseason game. Maybe they knew that they wanted to potentially move on from him and not make him a part of the room, knowing that they were probably going to, you know, eventually will be Josh Allen's team, but that, you know, also to Peterman having such a great preseason, there was kind of no need to keep him around. I'm just wondering if that was more of a showcase game. And then to get the 5th-round pick for him was, as you said, kind of a marvelous job for someone that you're not even going to figure into your plans anyway. So that was great. But the quarterback position doesn't stop there. After McCarron was traded and after Nathan Peterman was announced as starter, the Bills are also now reportedly going to work out Paxton Lynch, the former Denver Bronco and former first-round pick. Interesting, to say the least, because he has not had a strong start to his NFL career and was outbeat by Chad Kelly for the number 2 spot in Denver. We'll see how this workout goes, but maybe the Bills don't want to just have 2 quarterbacks in their stable here going into week 1.
Yeah, I mean, they asked, you know, Sean McDermott his thoughts on that after, you know, today when he spoke about having 2 quarterbacks on the roster. And he kind of, you know, he mentioned that, you know, Logan Thomas would be the emergency quarterback if need be, since he played college quarterback in college, and that, you know, they would have to take it from there if it got to that point. But he also said, you know, Brandon Bean and they're all always looking to improve, and they're always looking to bring in more talent if that means he wouldn't rule out them looking for a 3rd quarterback. And then, you know, a few hours later, it's reported they're going to work out Paxton Lynch. You know, I got into it a little bit on Twitter with some people just because, you know, I made a joke about like this being an awful type of move. And I get it. He's the 3rd quarterback. It's not like they're bringing him in to compete for the starting job. That's been decided. If we don't see Nathan Peterman as the starting quarterback, it's going to be Josh Allen. That's it. But, you know, I think that if they're going to bring in another guy, I think that it would make sense to bring in a guy that's a veteran. I think that if that's kind of the route you're going to go, why not bring in a guy that has experience with 2 very young quarterbacks if you're going to carry 3 quarterbacks on the roster? I just don't see really the point in bringing in a guy like Paxton Lynch. If you're a team maybe that has, you know, a starting quarterback that's older, or you have a backup that's older and a younger guy starting, and you're just kind of spinning the tires on him and you're saying, well, maybe a change of scenery will do him good. And, you know, he has, you know, he was a first round pick, so maybe there's some upside there. I just don't see how he fits into what the Bills currently have. He's, you know, unless, you know, they're thinking, well, if he's, for some reason he comes across and they're able to develop him, maybe Bean could flip him for a pick at some point. But other than that, I really don't see the point. If you're going to bring in a third quarterback, to me, it would be some a veteran that can kind of help, you know, lead the room with a younger Nathan Peterman and Josh Allen. So I'm not thrilled with that. I know obviously nothing's been decided or he's not even worked out yet, but at least from what I've seen from Broncos fans on Twitter, they were kind of reacting very strongly to anyone giving any sort of positive feedback on Paxton Lynch. They were, you know, very adamant that he was beat out twice by seventh round picks. They decided to move forward with Chad Kelly as the backup this season, and he was cast off. You know, people kind of said, well, you know, he was a first round pick, and Broncos fans were quick to point out the only reason he was a first round pick was because John Elway decided he was worthy of a first round pick. And John Elway has not been great as a quarterback evaluator at this point. So, you know, I get it. Nothing to throw a fit about, but as your third quarterback, I just think there might be better options out there if they are interested in carrying three quarterbacks.
Yeah. Someone who's, like you said, a little bit more of a veteran presence, just Paxton hasn't really impressed. And maybe it's just as simple as this, Brad, because they did this with Corey Coleman, right? Just bringing in guys who are first-round talent, guys who are talented guys. Maybe they can mold them. But to me, it's kind of like the analogy of, you know, this girl that you see that you think is so pretty, and she's also just extremely likable, but, you know, there's maybe one or two flaws, and they're kind of deal breakers for you, but you might be able to feel like you can fix them, and they just might not be fixable. Right. Kind of just that, you know, lovable kind of way of feeling like you can put them in the right environment, right, and try to get them to adapt and maybe kind of you know, adopt your system and excel in your environment. I don't know if that's going to work for them, but maybe that's their thinking, just bringing in, you know, another body that had talent coming out of college, can produce if maybe given the right circumstance. And as you said, too, I think, you know, Brandon Bean is always looking to try to, you know, flip players like he did with AJ McCarron. Maybe he can do something like that. But as you said, he's not signed. Nothing's kind of definitive. They're just kind of snooping around. Speaking of the wide receiver position and Corey Coleman, he gets let go. His stint with the Bills was short-lived. Robert Foster makes the team. And then you also point out that the Bills are going to be working out Breshad Perriman if he's not signed you know, by another team before his workout with the Bills too. So they're still kind of tinkering with the wide receiver position and at the tight end position too with the pass catchers. I got rid of Nick O'Leary. He's no longer with the team. So just kind of your assessment of the wide receiver and tight end position, Brad.
Yeah, like you said, I posted an article earlier that Ian Rappaport had reported that the Bills were planning to work out Perriman if he does not sign with the Jets, which his workout with them was today. That just goes to show you another first round quote unquote bust, if you will, that hasn't been able to cut it. He's had a lot of injuries and his time in Baltimore just did not pan out. And, you know, maybe there is something to what you said about, I think anytime you're a head coach or you're a general manager in the NFL, you're going to have a bit of an ego to you because that's the nature of the sport. And I don't mean an ego in a way that you think, you know, you're better than everyone, but you think that the way you're doing it is how to do it, or else you wouldn't be doing it that way. So I think that maybe they feel by bringing some of these cast-offs in, like the, as you said, they had talent in college, and for whatever reason, injuries, the system didn't fit, work ethic issues, just things that maybe could be corrected. If they can steal a guy like a first, like a Perriman that works out, it was the same exact thought process with Coleman. We'll give up a seventh round pick in the future. If he works out, awesome. If he doesn't, oh well. And it didn't work out, but they're kind of tinkering with that same thing as you said. I think overall, you know, we know the wide receiver, tight end, you know, pass catching combination isn't, you know, the Bills' strongest, isn't the strongest area by any means. I was surprised that Robert Foster made it over a guy like Rod Streeter. I know Brandon Riley was another name that was popular with fans, but you know, when I saw Riley and Coleman, they were two of the first names cut during the roster cutdown day. I wasn't too shocked by that. I mean, you know, Coleman was a guy a lot of us thought, because they gave up an asset, albeit a seventh round pick, that he might get a chance to showcase himself for a couple more weeks. But, you know, reports came out of Cleveland after he was let go that there was issues from day one with his attitude that coaches did not like on the Bills, and that tight hamstrings prevented him from running at full speed. So he was never really able to quite catch up. I know he came in behind on the playbook and all that. So, you know, I guess some of the issues we had heard about him having in Cleveland seemed to carry over to Buffalo. So
also his salary too, Brad, like
right.
The Bills had to be on the hook for that. And it was about a couple weeks or less of practice. And, you know, he's paid multi-million dollars. And I think that was a big reason fans thought he would stick around, just for the fact, well, you just invested this, you know, not only a pick, but the money. And it seems like the Pegulas were fine with that anyway, which is interesting too.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think they've shown that they're not going to let money per se. I mean, look at all the guys that have left this team since they've come in, whether it's financially, it makes, I mean, I know we it's been, you know, nailed to death how much dead cap, how much money they have tied up in players that are no longer with this team. And luckily, they've been able to tie most of it up this year so that next season when they have all their cap space, it's not going to affect them as much. But they're not afraid to do that if it means getting rid of players they don't feel fit this team. And we all know how important, you know, the quote unquote culture is here, and, you know, trusting and believing in the process and all that. So, you know, I think that it's going to be interesting to see. I think a guy like Ray McLeod, really, you know, it's been reported the coaches love him. He obviously made the team. You know, Robert Foster, we talked about. I'm interested to see how Zay Jones comes back. You know, obviously he had his off-season issues, but he's had, you know, a reported strong camp since he came back. And then a guy like Jeremy Curley and Kelvin Benjamin are kind of your more veterans on the team. In terms of the tight end, like you said, Charles Clay, he really has not found his rhythm since getting to Buffalo after he got that big contract. And I think that he's in this offense with Brian Daboll. I think that it's going to really allow him to maybe showcase some of his strengths more than it did with Rick Dennison. But it was obviously surprising when you see a guy like Nick O'Leary cut, just because he's been on this team and, you know, he's done some nice things. But I think at the end of the day, the reason you saw, you know, Lee, Kroom, and Thomas make this team is because they're just more versatile players and they can help the Bills on special teams. They're faster, they're more athletic. They can do things that O'Leary just was not built to do. So, you know, it's like we said, it's not going to be their strength, but hopefully one or two of these guys kind of surprise us and they're able to help Nathan Peterman, you know, kind of get this pass game in decent shape.
And part of that pass game is going to obviously rely on the offensive line and giving them pass protection. Brad, that's the thing I worry about most with this offense is, can they pass protect? I think they'll be able to run the ball. I think just having Shady back there alone gives the Bills a chance to be productive on the ground. But pass protection is something that I, you know, look at this front five offensive line unit and frankly just a little bit scared by it. One thing that I am happy to hear is that Ryan Groy will be starting at center. I think that is probably a welcome news for fans. I think over Bodine, I just think Groy's kind of been the, you know, player waiting in the wings, so to speak, as the sixth swingman player for this team for a couple of years. He finally gets his chance to start. I think, you know, him starting at center is a good move. And but just, yeah, just the pass protection in general is something I'm going to look at, especially going up against this week of the guys like Suggs and that Baltimore defense. It's something that I'm going to pay close attention to.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. Obviously, that's, you know, for all of us, I think it's the biggest concern is the offensive line, especially with how they played in the preseason. You know, I was happy to hear Groy won the job, but, you know, by him winning the starting center job, that means he can't play guard, which means you're going to expose, you know, some of the other guys there. And it's been surprising, I think, that we haven't seen any sort of reported interest at this point or visits set up with any sort of free agent linemen, just because obviously that's such a, it appears to be such a glaring need. And a guy like Dukas just got manhandled in the preseason. And I think, though, the thing we kind of forget is that Dable still has not really installed the full playbook. He, you know, that's typical in the preseason. He's not going to show you everything they have. So I think once the full playbook's installed and once these guys start, you know, actually executing the way they're planning to at full speed for the regular season, once you get, like you said, Shady back in there, you have everyone kind of running, you know, all together, I think naturally that's going to help the offensive line, you hope, play better than they did in the preseason. Now, are they going to be great? Probably not, but at least I'm hoping we see some better play than what we saw in the preseason, because if that's how they're playing in the regular season, it doesn't matter who's at quarterback, it doesn't matter who's at wide receiver, it doesn't matter who's at running back, this team is not going to have any chance on offense, and the defense is going to have to be phenomenal for them to win any games. So I'm really hoping we see some improved play on the offensive line.
Yes, for sure. The Bills also decided to part ways with Colton Schmidt and bring in a new punter. This is an interesting move, to say the least, Brad, because it's so late in the process. The punter is typically your holder, too, for your place kicker. They went with really a kid right out of school, a left-footed kicker, and I believe his name is pronounced Borquez, but I could be wrong about that. But just an interesting move, given the timing, given it so close to the regular season. The Bills obviously were not happy with Colton Schmidt and were dead set on trying to find a replacement for him.
Yeah, I think what happened, to be honest with you, is I think they were caught off guard when Corey Carter got hurt. I think he was their plan to take over. Obviously, they were not pleased with Colton Schmidt. They were looking for a replacement. I think he was probably the guy they expected to take that job, and then he gets hurt, and so they decide to bring in John Ryan, which, you know, I said this when I found out that they made this move. I said, well, how bad was John Ryan that he wasn't able to get the job if they were actively looking to replace, you know, Schmidt? But they bring in this kid, and from what I've read, I kind of made this comparison on Twitter. I said he sounds almost like the Josh Allen of punters, because supposedly he has an insanely strong leg. He had some accuracy issues, and he's kind of a little bit raw, like you said, coming out as a rookie from New Mexico. But he was killing the ball at New Mexico, and I guess, you know, typical Bill Belichick, when they asked him, you know, why, what he did, and by the way, he didn't take a single snap in the entire preseason, did not get one snap for New England, and reporters were kind of asking him about that, and they said, you know, what, and he gave the typical New England response, I'm just worried about getting better each day. And Bill Belichick said something interesting. He said, you know, his typical, you need to earn the opportunity to play. So basically he was saying that this kid didn't do enough in his eyes to earn the opportunity to play. But what I had read further was that perhaps Brandon Bean and the Bills felt that that wasn't such an honest thing, other than maybe Bill Belichick was trying to kind of keep this kid under the radar so that, you know, if he cut him, perhaps it wasn't going to be like, oh, a team was going to swoop in and grab him. So I think that there was some intrigue there as to why he didn't get a single snap at all in the preseason. But, you know, it is interesting anytime a guy that's been around for a while is kind of cast off. But, you know, you have to wonder, they really seem to actively be looking to replace him. And I think this is going to be a unique circumstance that we're going to have a rookie, you know, holding the ball for Steven Hauschka. And they actually interviewed him, and he said, you know, today I believe that he's not really worried about it. It's holding a football. It's not a big deal. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But obviously, you know, it'll be nice if the kid has a big leg and he's able to kind of come into his own as a punter. It never hurts to have good special teams.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm wondering too, just kind of half joking, if the Bills were just planning on punting a lot this year. Hopefully that's not the case, but yeah, I think they were just looking for a stronger leg, right? Just someone to, you know, especially into the wind, it seemed like Colton Schmidt was struggling. He could be pretty accurate with his kicks, but just wasn't getting the distance and perhaps a little bit, you know, more hang time with a bigger leg is what they're looking for.
He is also actually a lefty as well, which
right.
is supposedly an advantage because it prevents the returner from seeing it as quickly, and it kind of puts a weird spin on the ball. So yep. for little nuances like that, he's actually a lefty kicker, which is a bit unique. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like a, you know, almost like a screwball yep. from like a lefty pitcher, yep. whereas a curveball might spin one way, it's kind of spinning the opposite. So yeah, that might, you know, fool a returner for sure. And well, it's definitely something, you know, the punt play in general is not something you want to sit at your television for and watch intently, but I think Bills fans may just want to see how this guy got this guy kicks if he's asked to do so in a game. Brad, also over the weekend, the Bills signed everyone to their practice squad. And I think today they finalized their 10-man unit. Over the weekend, they announced Keith Ford, Mike Love, Dean Marlowe, Cam Phillips, Corey Thompson, Gerhard DeBeer, Levi Wallace, and DeAndre Wesley were on the practice squad, and guys that were on the team to come back after they cleared waivers. And then today, it looks like they also brought in guard Reuben Holcomb and defensive tackle Robert Thomas. Holcomb was a University of Indianapolis product, and then Thomas was one of the final cuts for the New York Giants. This is according to the Buffalo News. So those guys are now filling out the practice squad. It's always good to have good depth and players that you can, you know, maybe use toward the end of the year with injuries and stuff like that. It's never something you should kind of keep your eye off of during the season, because these guys oftentimes are asked to come in, like I said, late in the year, or they just develop into regular players. Anyone on that list to you stand out or happy to have back with the organization?
Yeah, I was happy to see Cam Phillips, you know, clear waivers and go. He had a strong start to the preseason, and he's a guy that I think, you know, especially given what's going on with their wide receivers, and there's not a ton of depth there, a ton of guys that jump off the page at you as a rookie. You know, maybe he's a guy that with a little more development could eventually make this roster, or at least compete, you know, back with them next year, or if there are, you know, certain, depending what happens with him. But I was happy to see him kind of come back. And then I think a fan favorite was DeBeer, just because, you know, the name obviously is cool. And
Mike Love is back.
Yep, Mike Love's back.
So you got Love, DeBeer back, yep, with that the whole unit's back. Yeah. And I thought Mike Love played pretty well too. We got, you know, in the end of the, you know, the Chicago game, he had a couple plays where he had a guy wrapped up in the backfield and couldn't quite finish the play, but showed some promise. And I think that's what you want out of these guys. It's just, you know, they show flashes and you kind of see some ability there, and they just hope that they, you know, develop and mature and get to know the NFL game a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, obviously these aren't guys that we're looking to come in and you know, make a huge difference on this team. They're obviously on the practice squad for a reason, but anything they can contribute to the future at all is always, you know, a nice little added bonus.
For sure. So we're really close now to week one. I can't believe it, Brad. Anything that you're just kind of looking forward to this week? Obviously, just the excitement generally around week one is huge. I think you can often just feel that with fans just around town. But then, you know, things that you're going to be monitoring throughout the week. I'm going to be looking at the injuries to the defensive line. I really want to make sure Kyle Williams and Trent Murphy are good to go. It seems like they both may be on track as far as the injuries are concerned. I don't think Ray McLeod will be back. We also had reported on Bills Wire through our sources that Ray suffered an MCL sprain. So that could be anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks typically for that injury. I don't think the Bills have necessarily come out and addressed that that specifically, but that's what we're reporting. And yeah, just what are you looking forward to, I guess, this week leading up to week one's matchup?
Yeah, like you said, I think it's an exciting time for everyone, whether you cover the team, you're a fan, or you're, you know, just someone in general that enjoys football. I think one position battle that really has not been finalized yet is kind of who's gonna be on that in the starting cornerback slot, either opposite side of Trey White. So, you know, Philip Gaines and Vontae Davis are still kind of in contention there. It hasn't necessarily been finalized, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, when they line up for the opening game, who is where in the backfield there. But mm-hmm. I think now that we've kind of gotten quarterback out of the way, I was extremely happy to hear McDermott announced it today. I was afraid he was going to try and play the card, like, we're going to keep them guessing and we're going to have to go the whole week waiting. And then maybe we find out Sunday morning, or we find out, you know, Saturday night. And it's just, it's nice to have it out of the way a week ahead of time, because the players know, the fans know, the media knows, and now we can kind of just, you know, take the week and get adjusted and then get to the opening game. But like I said, and we've talked about before, these opening game, four games are going to be tough. So, you know, it's all well and good that, you know, we're excited Nathan Peterman's going to, he earned it and all this and that, but starting, you know, in a few days, none of that really matters anymore. And it's, can they win football games? And I know a lot of, you know, the national media has predicted them to be awful. Today when, you know, Nathan Peterman was named the starter, I saw that, you know, the football power index moved the Bills from 31st to 32nd, and they saw moved that. The Jets up just because of Peterman. So I'm not sure what they've seen that they feel Josh Allen gives them a better chance to win right now. I'm not saying long term, I just mean in this moment, why that would cause a shift in the rankings there. But you know, we all thought they were going to be terrible last year, and they surprised everyone, made the playoffs. I don't think that's going to happen again, but you know, and they play the games for a reason. So I'm just excited to have real football back that we can appreciate and enjoy all the way through, rather than these preseason games that, you know, maybe you get a couple good series and that's it. Although I do have to say that fourth preseason game, that comeback was probably the most fun I've ever had watching preseason football. So, but yeah, I'm just ready for the real thing. And I think fans are too. It's been a long, long off season. If you go all the way back to, you know, back to when Tyrod Taylor was traded to Cleveland through now, so much has happened, so much personnel change, player change, and just ups and downs, and all this different, you know, drama with Shady and with Zay Jones and all this stuff, that I just think it'll be good to get back to football. And, you know, I'm excited for it.
Definitely an eventful offseason and training camp / preseason. It's been quite exhausting in a fun way, but also, yeah, I think everyone's just ready for the regular season for sure. Well, thanks, Bradley, for coming on with me. And again, congratulations on joining Bills Wire. We're happy to have you, and I'm sure you're going to be a consistent regular here on the podcast. So thanks for all your insight, and we'll probably hopefully catch up with you again, if not before the Ravens game, for sure after. And yeah, we're just excited to get started here, and thanks for coming on the podcast, and happy post-Labor Day. I hope everyone had a great Labor Day holiday weekend, and we'll be chatting with everyone and back on the podcast here again tomorrow.